Always Worth Saying's Question Time Review. Question Time, the 14th of May, 2020. The panel, Stephen Barclay, Conservative. Bridget Phillipson, Labour. Mick Cash, Trade Union Leader. Luke Johnston, Venture Capitalist. Devi Srindhar, Academic. The venue, Oxford. Author of The Hippocratic Oath and Conqueror of Smallpox. Father of the first 48,000 children conceived by artificial insemination in Belarus. Double Nobel Prize for Medicine laureate, Professor Dr. Sir Robert Peston, MD, FRCS, FRS, ITV, is currently fully occupied single-handedly re-engineering the human genome. Therefore, on tonight's Question Time, the medical expert is academic Devi Srindhar. Your humble reviewer is sad to announce that old friend of Question Time Review, Lord Billy Maria, has been relieved of his unique Puffin's Accounting Hall of Fame award. Details to follow. Originally, this week's QT was billed as coming from Oxford. Oxford's turn on the QT carousel would have come around very quickly indeed. Venues often wait many years between visits, but Question Time was last in Oxford only 4 months ago. However, in these virtual audience days, the venue seems to have disappeared from the pre-programme BBC publicity. Never mind. Oxford tends to visit Question Time. In keeping with the BBC's commitment to a particular type of diversity, a remarkable proportion of QT panellists attended Oxford University. On last week's programme, racial discrimination victim Afua Hirsch, after leaving £6,500 a term Wimbledon High School, studied PPE at St Peter's College. Her fellow panellist Niklaus Thomas Simmons also studied PPE at St Edmund Hall. The week before that, George Osborne, Magdalene College, Modern History. His fellow panellists, the useless Annalise Dodds, and Sir Paul Nurse, R&WER, an Oxford MP and chair of the Oxford University Department of Microbiology, respectively. This week, the Working Class People's Party MP, Bridget Phillipson, attended Hertford College. Luke Johnston, Magdalene, again. Devi Srindhar was an Oxford University Rhodes Scholar. And, of course, as every grateful licence fee-paying puffin knows, £15,000 an hour key worker, Fiona Bruce, is an Oxford graduate, French and Italian, also at Hertford College. If the panel ever consists of two grumpy farmers, a struggling local 11 journeyman, a Scotsman who has made a wrong turning, and my humble self, then you will know that the BBC has changed tack and become obsessed by your modest reviewer's remote and neglected county shire. Devi Srindhar has a bachelor's degree in biology from the University of Miami and both MPhil and DPhil degrees from the University of Oxford. Having turned down a position at Harvard Law School, she joined the University of Oxford Global Economic Governance Programme. Her book, The Battle Against Hunger, was described by Foreign Affairs magazine as a must-read. Devi is a postdoctoral fellow at All Souls College, Oxford, and an associate professor in global health politics at Wolfson College. She is a full professor and chair at the University of Edinburgh and a founding director of the Global Health Governance Programme. Currently, she divides her time between Edinburgh Medical School and the Blavatnik School of Government. In mid-May 2020, her already impressive career reached an apotheosis when she was appointed Mega Defo UBET 100% Wood of the Month. The label worst in Europe regarding the corona pandemic remains over and dishonestly used. According to researchers at Oxford University's Our World in Data project, up until Thursday, May the 14th, deaths per million are as follows. First, Belgium, 763. Second, Spain, 579. Third, Italy, 514. Fourth, the UK, 488. I have yet to hear one single MSM mention of the situation in Belgium. Much has been made of BAME, Black, Asian and Minority Ethnic Deaths. Data is available from the Office of National Statistics. Look at figure 2 via this link. BAME outcomes cover a multitude, differentiated aided by race. We're allowed to say race, as such things come under the Cabinet Office's published race disparity audit. In Britain, those least likely to die of COVID-19 are Chinese women. It is not true to say that BAME deaths are higher than whites. It is fake news. The rate of Chinese deaths is lower. Given the range of error, mixed race and other deaths may be lower too. Indian deaths are higher, Pakistani, Bangladeshi, and black deaths are much higher. In next week's Question Time review, I will tell you why. The first question was asked by Daniel, who has a new job as a key worker and must travel to work on public transport. What's to be done? Fiona Bruce, Chair, said, "Congrats." How much was spent on her education? We're off to a bad start. Mick Cash, trade union leader, announced that public transport should be free for key workers. And if too many of them turned up to take advantage of the generosity of the comrades, then they were going to go on strike. Stephen Barclay, Conservative, was dismissive of strike action, claiming that commuters would be travelling on foot and by bike anyway. Will the M1 be like Hanoi in the 1970s? One thinks it might be. Comrade Mick replied that this was the Marie Antoinette School of Management. Let them eat British Rail sandwiches. Dear God, are things really that bad? Although that might be better at killing the virus than a new wonder drug. Luke Johnston, businessman, spoke in a strange accent, hinting at faraway exotic places. He noted that the comrade train drivers just sit in a cab and pull levers and don't need PPE. There is an obsession about being safe all of the time, he said. The lovely Devi spoke. I'm not quite sure what she said. Distracted, I couldn't help but imagine her in a mask while I put on my protection. Luke re-entered the conversation. The country has become petrified. Maybe they're frightened someone steals their money, Luke. You're more likely to drown than die of COVID if you're under 45, he claimed. Off a tropical beach, perhaps. At this point, Bruce lied about the death rate, saying that ours was the second worst. The lovely Devi intervened. She claimed the lockdown was good for the economy, at which point she fell off her pedestal. Take her award from her, too. Has the girl not seen the stock market? In the guff that accompanies Question Time, Luke Johnston is described as being a businessman and entrepreneur on the board of Brompton Bikes. Quaint. The BBC is being too modest on his behalf. Mr. Johnson is a venture capitalist who has a stake in Brompton Bikes and many other companies. His investment vehicle is called Risk Capital Partners. On their website, they boast, "We are not governed by rules and do not have to report to external committees. If we like your story, we will invest. We invest solely our own money in each transaction, so we have a real alignment of interest with our management partners, founder shareholders." The phrase "is not governed by rules and solely our own money" might ring alarm bells. This is a private fund without any scrutiny from shareholders. For some bizarre reason, their website's list of current and selected previous investments misses out Pasitere Valerie. Johnson floated that company in 2014 and then sold nearly £23 million of shares. The next year, he sold another £13 million of shares and continued to collect dividends and a salary of £60,000 per annum. In 2018, the business crashed because of a coincidental £37.8 million black hole in the accounts. High Street Prepared Food Retailing is a cash business. Cash can go round and round within the business fraudulently and be accounted to many different outlets simultaneously. Any shortfall can be covered temporarily from hidden banking facilities. Sales figures become inflated, income overstated, and the share price is artificially high. An unscrupulous executive can gain by selling shares at an inflated price and by being paid an inflated dividend. Simultaneously, lax non-executive directors and auditors trouser their fees without providing due scrutiny. Exact extra detail of how such a scam might work is contained in a Financial Times article and from its unread contributors below the line. An even fuller explanation to follow. First, we must debug Lord Billy Maria and throw him in the pond behind the mess in order to liberate that puffing accounting Hall of Fame award from his office wall and hand it to someone else.
Interestingly, on September the 9th, 2018, a month before Patisserie Valerie crashed, Luke Johnson explored Operate. His Sunday Times column, Luke Johnson, A Business Beginner's Guide to Tried and Tested Swindles, began with the following passage. Here is an aid memoir for those looking to spot the next fraud, or indeed aspiring swindlers who want to learn the basics of their trade. Surprisingly, very little changes. Many of the same tricks were played 50 or even 100 years ago. Cash businesses. It is much easier to disguise nefarious activities if you run a cash business. Then HMRC, banks, auditors and others, find it hard to monitor real takings. This sort of trade enables villains to launder money from illegal activities or simply skim money to keep it away from the taxman. Bait it offshore. Make sure the holding companies are registered in tax havens with strict secrecy laws. That way, no one can tell who owns. Given the nature of tax haven secrecy, we would never know if Johnson had been involved in the kind of offshore company that would be required to carry out the kind of scam that he describes. Or would we? According to Companies House, Johnson's Risk Capital Partners changed its name in May 2008. Prior to that, it was called Risk Capital, having originally been incorporated in August 2006. One of the three other founders was Paul May, who also profited from Patisserie Valerie, becoming the parent company's chief executive. According to the Panama Papers leak, on the 21st of September 2006, the month after the incorporation of Risk Capital Group, Risk Capital Group Incorporated became a legal entity in Panama and the Bahamas. Its company registration in Panama describes it as a valid anonymous society. Quite. Companies House notes Luke Oliver Johnson to have a total of up to 12 company appointments. However, a cursory glance elsewhere reveals another 200. As our award is handed over, might weapons-grade accountancy PPE be advisory? Not to worry, Luke still writes in the Sunday Times, where he wails of his tragic heartbreak at the unexpected loss of Patisserie Valerie. He did try to save the stricken company, putting in £10 million of his own money, having taken £40 million plus pounds out. Avoid. As I'm sure you realise by now, Luke was the real victim, not the hundreds of people who lost their jobs. Is there another annual going postal gong that Luke's name might be put forward for? Mick Cash is the leader of the RMT, the Rail, Maritime and Transport Workers Union. As such, he represents £60,000 a year train drivers and £80,000 a year tube drivers. Wages and job security are too high for there to be a need for a union. In this review, as part of the world, jobs on the railway, the Rattler, are passed from father to son like country estates. The RMT should be abolished and replaced by a salaried staff association bound by a no-strike agreement. There, I've said it. And you thought I was going to rant about my rail track shares. As well as Question Time review, last Friday also saw the Queen's VE Day anniversary broadcast. Her Majesty reminded all of us, collectively and individually, that the streets are full of care and love. In a message specific to the Question Time reviewing community, she also told us that we must never give up, never despair. However, as often, what wasn't spoken was as poignant as the words actually said. Her Majesty pointedly didn't say that one has to watch every single minute of Question Time before writing a review. God bless you, ma'am. A guilt-free early night beckons for this, both Her Majesty's and Going Postal's humble reviewing servant.